And this is The Science Show on RN. In some places, you don't even have to look under the surface of the ground to see what's there. Instead, the surface opens up and what's beneath shoots up to startling effect. Yes, I'm talking about Iceland, where huge spouts of red-hot lava have been shooting to the sky, as Simon Redfern found when he went there.
We went out at the end of August, and so we arrived in the field on the 1st of September, and we were there for 8 days.
And what did you see?
Well, we were very fortunate because although this was a pre-planned trip, principally to service the geophysical instruments that are deployed by the university out in the field around the volcanic system that's going off at the moment, we were, as I say, extremely fortunate to be there while an active fissure eruption was in place.
How close did you get to the eruptions?
The first day we approached very cautiously with local Icelandic scientists alongside us all the time, and we were within a kilometre of the lava fountains and the curtain that existed at the time. But later in the week, it was clear that the lava flow itself was moving rather slowly, of the order of 10 metres an hour, and we could approach it cautiously, quite close to within 5 metres or so.
5 metres? Some of the videos you were showing, eruptions going, what, 100 metres into the air?
Yes, we wouldn't get that close to the fountains. So this is the flows come off at the edges from the fissure, and the fountains are at the central part of the fissure, and we're probably within 500 metres of the fountains. It depends entirely on the wind direction, how safe you are. We were upwind of the fountains and the gases that were coming out of the eruption all the time, but we could pick up little bits of tephra, little bits of frozen magma that had been splattered onto the ground by our feet earlier.
How many volcanoes separately are there erupting, or is it just all over the place?
It's one system that is active at the moment. It's called a fissure eruption, so it's quite long. It's a few kilometres in length. So it's basically a crack in the ground that's opened up. In fact, the fissure was observed before the lava started coming out because the whole crust there is in tension. So it's being pulled apart by tectonic forces. And the eruption that we observed produces a long lava flow that is about 10 kilometres long, which a channel of relatively fast-moving lava, quite narrow, which then spreads out into this big lava field, spreading now about 20 square kilometres in the valley floor.
Seem to remember there was a suggestion that the earthquake's going on at the same time.
As the magma flows beneath the ground, it presses on the surrounding rock, so there's pressure from the magma itself. There's also tension from, as I say, the tectonic forces, and these together mean that the fractures occur beneath the surface, and it's these fractures that then open up to allow the magma to flow as a conduit beneath the surface.
Any idea how long this activity might continue?
No idea at all, but one can speculate, of course, and the Kepler fires occurred a few years ago and lasted for over a year. So there's a possibility that what happens at the moment will just continue. There's no sign of a decrease in the amount of magma being erupted, and the magma supply seems to be constant as well. So one possibility is that it's sort of reached an equilibrium position and this carries on for a long time. It could just freeze and halt. And the other possibility, of course, is that it gets diverted into one of the actual volcanic centres in the area, of which there are two. There's Bardabunga, one that people are most worried about, but there's also Askja, which is a volcano to the north of the fissure that also has a history. Askja itself, in 1875, went off with a big bang and effectively depopulated the whole of northeast Iceland.
Really?
1875 eruption. It has some molten rock inside it that's a slightly different chemical composition that makes it a little bit more explosive. Mm. So the molten rock that's coming out at the moment is called basalt, which is quite runny when it's in its liquid form and therefore doesn't tend to form explosive eruptions.
Simon, I get slightly restless when a seismologist or someone connected with volcanoes talks about speculation, because of course the Italians geologists hit the law. Fortunately, all you have to do is suggest likelihoods and you won't necessarily be taken to court, will you?
There's a big problem with perceptions among both policymakers, lawmakers and potentially the public as well about how well we can predict things. So the great thing about the eruption that's going on at the moment is that it's enabling scientists to gather huge amounts of data on what goes on when something like this happens. Unprecedented amounts of information that are being collected. We've got 70 seismometers from Cambridge that are deployed there that are giving us a wealth of information. And until we understand fundamentally what's happening. You can't predict what's going to happen. So we understand volcanic systems with far less precision in terms of forecasting than, say, the weather. And similarly with earthquakes. So predicting earthquakes is, I would say, a fool's game, really, because there are signals that something might be about to happen. But the best thing you can do is prepare yourself for the worst case. So the information that we gather is to develop risk scenarios that can then be acted upon in terms of preparation.
You deployed instruments which presumably are still feeding you information.
The instruments are still collecting the information and will continue to do so for at least another year. Some of them have been fitted with telemetry by the Icelandic Met Office so that some of the information can be gathered in real time. Most of the information that we have is actually saved onto hard disks or flash drives in the instruments themselves, which are run by battery. And that's why we have to go out to them every 6 months or so to collect the data in and to repair the batteries and the solar panels that keep them going.
So you're going back soon?
The project will continue. I would love to go back soon, but most of the workers on the ground involved in this project, the graduate students with Bob White, young workers who are healthy and keen to do this work, and they will continue to carry on this project, yes.
Thank you very much.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Simon Redfern is Professor of Geology at Cambridge, and at least those eruptions show no sign of restricting air traffic in Northern Europe, as happened last time.